Daniel Palmer, San Antonio, Texas.
Matt Damon.
Stop all the downloading.
It's showtime.
Old School at the Movies presents Karp's Bargain Bin, Episode 2, Porn Star Movie Crossovers. Old School at the Movies is brought to you by the Trending Topics Network. Check out some great shows like Fight Show Live, The Spanish Announce Table, and Trending Mobile Technology. Welcome back to Old School at the Movies, your one-stop shop for all your movie-related news. I'm your host, Mr. Old School. Before we get to the panel this week, let's get into the contact information. OldSchoolMovies.net is the site where you can listen, download, and subscribe to the podcast. If you want to get in touch with us directly, OldSchoolMovies2 at gmail.com. Or you can tweet us at OldMovies.net. That's OldMovies, D-O-T-net. So, Carb, we've got another bargain bin this week. It's Poor Stars to do crossover into cinema. And for the panel this week, we've got, obviously, Carb, and we've also got Will. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing really well, thanks.
So, Cart, man, let's take it away. Let's get our first movie of porn stars doing the crossover into actual film.
This first actress we'll speak of is Sasha Grey. Okay. She's an American porn actress. She was a performer of adult films from 2006 to 2010, roughly 280 adult titles, AVN's 2006 Performer of the Year. Her feature film debut is this, Steve Soderbergh's The Girlfriend's Experience.
Are you still going to take that trip to Vegas?
I have no idea. No, I told them no, I'm not going to Vegas because you couldn't come. I don't know. What is going on?
Maybe you should.
What does that mean?
I met somebody today.
You met somebody? Okay. What does that mean?
I'm going to go away for the weekend.
I'm sorry, I'm not understanding. You met somebody today, a client, right? And you know our rules is you don't go away with clients.
It's just something I have to do, you know?
No, I don't know. I don't know. I don't even know what you're talking about right now. Who is this client?
I've actually never met him, but there was something there. There was definitely something there.
Today was the first day you met him?
I just said that, didn't I?
So Sasha Grey plays an escort in this movie. That was actually a scene where she was talking with her boyfriend, but going away for the weekend with some client and all this stuff. We didn't actually have a trailer that had audio spoken word in it. Really, really interesting film. I'm going to start with my thoughts. We'll throw it to Will and Karp after that. This is Sasha Grey's debut. She's a very young actress as well. I think she got into porn when she was 18 or something. So she's doing a crossover pretty quick. She's in her mid-20s now. The character she plays is very kind of bitch-faced, cold, reserved, very confident, I guess, escort or whatever. It's shot like documentary style. Really interesting concept. You get, you know, to see the kind of behind-the-scenes world of how an escort or a hooker or whatever, I guess this would be more of a high-class escort, does her day-to-day life. How does she interact with her clients? How does she market herself? How does she act in real, like, relationships? Can you maintain a relationship, you know? So this kind of stuff was really interesting for somebody who doesn't know, you know, the behind-the-scenes stuff about this business and all this stuff. And I thought Sasha Grey did a really good job for somebody who doesn't have acting experience. And, you know, I hope a lot of these actresses who maybe want to go mainstream maybe look at this and say, you know, maybe I can do a little bit more than, you know, suck dick on film or whatever. I don't know. I think it was a really interesting concept, and I'm going to give it a 7 out of 10 just for the fact that it's really different and the fact that porn star really makes a good effort at a serious role, and it's not like some stupid comedy or whatever. It was a good attempt, and I thought she did a great job. So, Will, let's throw this to you. I want to get your thoughts on this movie.
Thanks. I actually thought that my favorite part was that these were very flawed characters when we got to see them. What I disliked was how, even though it's supposed to be about the escorts, the film seemed to be a lot more about the financial crisis seen through a different lens, which I really couldn't care much for. I also felt very dated. I like the characters. They were all flawed. You could say she's stone-faced and she's cold, but I saw her as even though at first she looks mature, she turns out that I think she's kind of dumb. How she uses astrology, even though she says not astrology, and birth dates, just to figure out, you know, how someone is, how they link. Like the scene you just played was based entirely on a book. What I love about that scene, that you realize that the boyfriend's very flawed too. That the boyfriend, in the beginning of the film, you're wondering, is he into, like, the fact that she's an escort? And at first you're like, I guess he is. That scene really brings out that he's not. He was only with her, I don't know why. Maybe he had problems finding a girlfriend. Maybe she just found her hot. Yeah, so what I really appreciated was how full-fledged his characters were and how we got to see, how we got to understand throughout the film. The film was not shot, well, I don't know how it was shot, but it was not shown chronologically. So we get to piece together these individuals. And the interesting part of this relationship, the fact that you are dating an escort, and how does that work? And if someone's comfortable with it or not. I really appreciated that scene. And both actors sold me on it. And Sasha Grey, like you said, was terrific in the role. I believed that she was exactly who she was in that movie. I also give it a 7 out of 10 like you do.
Yeah, very interesting, complex character. Like you said, some of that stuff was kind of idiotic, you know?
Yes, very much so.
But you could see she's kind of like seat of her pants kind of personality. But that would probably take somebody, a personality like that, to do a profession like that. So, I don't know, it's really interesting. Carp, let's get your thoughts on this.
Well, first of all, Sasha Grey, like, for coming from porn to this movie, she did a really good job as an actual character actor, I found. I don't know if, you know, she's basically taking how she has to be in real life with, you know, having sex with people on camera and then moving it into this. But she did a really good job. I could have done without the heavy political financial undertones that it had. But, I mean, this was based, it's a drama set in the days leading up to the 2008 presidential election. So, you know, that's part of it. I was surprisingly short, I found, too. 77 minutes it's got clocked
in. The timing was weird, I found.
Yeah, the timing of it was weird. In the end, for me, it felt like a longer, much more emotional episode of Diary of a Call Girl, which is a show with Billy Piper, where she plays an escort who's, like, wrote a book. And in this, like, her character is actually talking about writing a book as well. So.
Yeah, very artsy. I mean, well, Soderbergh, obviously, the director, but... Yeah, the pacing was weird, too. Like, just, it's all over the place a bit, but really the originality of it and the fact that you can get a porn actress to pull off a performance like that, to me, there's more good than bad in it, so.
Yeah, well, there is actually a lot of talk of her maybe being nominated for an actress award at the time because people were like, holy shit, she can actually act, so.
Yeah, that's good. All right, what's our next movie, Cart?
I have a question for you guys.
Go ahead.
About the movie. Nope. Were any of you really grossed out by that
guy?
She has to please. Yeah, that part scene made me feel disgusted. That was fucking and dirty.
Yeah, I mean, I imagine women have to deal with that.
Like, by the way,
Erotic officer?
Yeah, the erotic, that's disgusting. I actually thought, but when he opened that door, that slider, I was like, this is not boding well at all. The director really, he conveyed that very, you conveyed her emotions through you very well. And I was, I don't know, I that's when I saw that the character had a lot of weaknesses. Because the character you saw so far, you would guess, would just leave.
Very.
You know, would not, yeah.
Very proud, very confident.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was another scene asking about, like, a competition, and she said, oh, I'm very comfortable with my body. And
That's right. But she wasn't. I don't know. It was interesting. Also, it was all for naught. That's what's worse.
Yeah. Another thing I took from it, she said a really interesting quote where the guy said, you know, you're only showing what they want to see.
Mm-hmm.
And so saying, like, would there be a time where they could see the real you? And then she mentioned something along the lines of, if they want to see the real me, they wouldn't be paying for it or something like that.
That's interesting.
Would they want to see what – they want me to be in the light that they want their girlfriend to be, or like the ideal kind of girl and not the real – who she is underneath. But they're paying her for her to act like the way they want to act because they want to be in control kind of thing. So that's very – again, just very interesting concept, and I think it paid off.
Yeah.
All right, Cart, what's next on our list?
The next one would be her second feature film. It is a horror comedy called Smash Cut.
I'm April Carson, and we're here at the Bytown Cinema to witness film history. Meet Abel Ritner.
Action!
He's made horror films all his life. Nobody respects his work.
Abel, my boy, don't let the reviews get you down.
They should die before they get a chance to see the end of the film. They should die.
Unable to take it anymore. He's decided to make a realistic horror film.
They're right. It's so fake.
And you better not get in his way.
Alan, I need a plot device.
Okay, what kind?
A killer is suspected of murder by a detective.
How does he take suspicion off himself?
Well, then he could kill someone else, make it look like a suicide, but make it a confession. What do you think?
I like it.
Not that idea I had, boss.
What, that private dick to find your sister, right? He's got a big reputation, huh?
Suicide note was an obvious forgery.
Holberg wasn't the killer?
It's Whitman.
You're better every day.
Starring David Hess from Last House on the Left. Sasha Gray from Steven Soderbergh's The Girlfriend Experience. And Michael Berryman from The Hills Have Eyes.
We really have to show the people what filmmaking is all about.
We've got to really shake them up!
Lights, camera, body parts. Smash cut.
This looks really cheaply done. I don't know, it just looks like instantly I could tell, not even seeing it, it looks like a B film.
Okay, well, basically the synopsis. Frustrated with his most recent film doing poorly, film director Abel Whitman, who is kind of an homage to Herschel Gordon Lewis, finds himself at a strip club where he meets and takes home one of the strippers, Gigi Stops. They have an accident on the road in which kills Gigi, leaving Abel to figure out what to do with the body. He conveniently decides to disguise the body parts as set pieces to his new horror film. When this new design style is met with much praise, Abel decides he needs more parts to fulfill his new project.
Oh, God.
When I started watching it, I actually thought it was going to be a pure horror film. And then when I realized it was black comedy, then my attitude for it changed. I found it fairly amusing. Like, the concept of a horror director going like, oh, well, my shit's looking too fake. You know what? I'm going to kill people, and then I'm going to film it and to make it look as real as possible. Also, you can tell this is filmed in Ottawa, as there's like an Ottawa tour bus.
You got like Harper in the background and yeah. Shit, Parliament.
You're saying it looks cheaply done. It actually had only a budget of $350,000 Canadian.
Honestly, it looked like it had a budget of $350. Yeah.
As for me, the practical effects were great. A few of the kills were super over-the-top hilarious. Like, he stabs a guy with a harpoon, and then the guy writes a note saying, oh, I've decided to kill myself with a harpoon. Using the dead stripper as his muse at points, I was dying of laughter. Once I realized it was more comedy than horror. Like, the guy is just, the main actor completely loses his shit at one point and goes on a killing spree. Like, if you realize this is a comedy, it's really funny. If you think you're going into pure horror, which I originally thought, then you might be met with disappointment. In the end, for me, it's a bargain bin score of use it 5, real body parts out of 10.
All right, Carp, our next movie, Bloodlust Zombies. Tell us about that.
Going on to our next pornographic actress is Alexis Texas, an American porn actress who's been in 490 adult films. Jeez. Between 2007 and 2013. She's known for her ample booty.
Okay.
And the movie, her feature film debut, was Bloodlust Zombies.
Our soldiers in harm's way. May they come home safely.
Here, here.
Cheers.
Okay, they're using fucking plastic glasses. Okay, anyways.
What the hell happened?
There was a spill in Lab 4.
God help us.
We're in a complete lockdown here. If there's a breach or a lab spill or something, I don't want anybody knowing about it.
Are you okay?
Okay, random naked woman for no apparent reason.
Bloodlust Zombies. Again, it's another film that looks like it was shot for about $80. It looks literally looks like a porno movie without the sex.
Well, simple. It's a military weapons manufacturer creates a chemical weapon that causes victims to become bloodlusting killers. A lab accident causes the building to go into lockdown, and the employees are trapped inside with the crazed killers. It's basically an infection flick. So, like,
It's like a really bad Resident Evil with a stripper.
Well, she's Alexis Texas plays like the CEO secretary who she's humping.
Okay.
You know, they developed this virus and they decide they're going to sell it to the military. Things go wrong. People get infected and people start dying. Alexis Texas, surprisingly, she's a half-decent scream queen type actress where I could see her pretty much only doing horror. Another moment I liked, there was this like complete asshole jerk character, the guy who's like, oh, look, random naked chick. Let's just say he gets his comeuppance. Okay. And there's like this young, cute office temp chick who's like super hardcore and swearing all the time. And like just for some reason she ends up has a gun in her purse and she's trying to like kill those bloodless zombies. So surprisingly, not half bad acting for the budget of $75,000. For me, it is a 6 bloodless zombie mutants out of 10.
Who should watch this movie? Is it just somebody who likes kind of low budget B movies with, I don't know, just like blood and gore and
Somebody who enjoys a cheap horror flick, with a half decent body count and over the top acting and fairly attractive female lead.
All right, our next movie on the list: Zombie Strippers.
Zombie Strippers. I'm seeing a scene here.
Zombies and porn stars and kind of strippers and blood. That's pretty much.
Well, this is what the episode's about. So Jenna Jameson, she's quite well known. She's been inducted into the Adult Video Hall of Fame. She's done surprisingly only about 160 titles.
Because apparently she limits the movies she does.
When she came out in 93,
right?
She won Best New Starlet. What's that?
She limits the movies she does?
She limited the amount of pornos she did.
Right, okay.
Best Actress in 96. Married, everybody knows, well, married or divorced right now to Tito Ortiz. She pretty much, like, before the internet basically took over all the porn, she was selling videos like there's no tomorrow. This is her feature film debut, Zombie Strippers.
Alpha, Bravo teams. Let's clean up the rest of the mess.
Wait for it!
In this small Nebraska town, a secret government project has gotten out of control. And a deadly virus has been unleashed.
The virus is based on the human X chromosome, so it stays more pure from woman to woman.
Into the city's hottest nightclub.
This is Jessie.
Local girl, right?
Yeah.
Born and bred, Sartre, Nebraska.
So tonight, when the sun goes down, things really start to heat up. Every man's fantasy is about to become...
What seems to be the problem, Doc?
Believe it or not, zombies.
Their worst nightmare. Robert Englund. Jenna Jameson.
Either got it or you don't, baby.
But what about the girls, huh? They're good girls.
They're zombies.
No. They're strippers.
They're zombie strippers.
For my sake, suck it up.
This actually looks half decent in terms of production quality, especially compared to the other ones.
Yeah, for sure. Well, a simple synopsis. In the not-too-distant future, a secret government reanimation chemovirus gets released into conservative, I can't pronounce it, what they wrote, Sartre, Nebraska, and lands in an underground strip club. As the virus begins to spread, turning the strippers into super zombie strippers, the girls struggle with whether or not to conform with the new fad, even if it means there's no turning back. This is the definition of an almost perfect bin film. Jenna Jameson looked phenomenal in this movie. The zombie practical to CGI effects were almost flawless. Robert Englund plays the germophobic
Imagine Robert Englund has to add zombie strippers to his movie list.
Yeah. At the time, Tito Ortiz, who was Jenna's husband at the time, he has a role where he's the bouncer in the club. She gets attacked. He runs away because he's like a coward. Just the opening scene pretty much shows how America has gone to shit. They're at war with everyone, including Canada.
Okay.
And so they're trying to create this zombie virus to make the perfect soldier. 7 beautiful half-naked women most of the time. The male audience in the club was like, I know when we go as a group to a strip club, we usually just kind of sit down and be quiet. the guys there were just super over the top. Like, from what I understand, women in male strip clubs, they're like crazy and super over the top. So the male audience in this strip club was like that, which I found hilarious.
Okay.
The military guys were super over the top as well. There's a guy, he's like, oh, I love to use knives. Super hot martial arts chick. This is, if you love a B-movie, this is a must-watch. It's a 9.5 zombie strippers out of 10.
You know what? Seeing the production quality and getting your review, I actually, oddly enough, I might check this out. It just seems like a fun movie.
So, yeah, you definitely got to see it. It's super fun. There's not just Jenna. Eventually, more of the girls get infected with the zombie virus. And for some reason, the guys in the club get super turned on by the zombie strippers.
Is there do they have rigor mortis or like?
No. Okay. No, not really. So okay. They do start walking all like staticky and slow at some points. But Jenna, she decides to go strip because, as they said, the zombie virus stays pure in the females.
Okay.
And she like does this strip, this one strip, and everybody's super silent, and then the club just explodes, and all the guys start throwing money on the stage. It's so over the top. It's ridiculous. This is one of my favorite bargain bin films I've ever watched. So.
Wow, awesome. Okay. And our last film for the bargain bin this week, this is The Canyon's Carp.
Yeah, we're going to switch it over to the male side of things. James Dean, an American male porn actor. He's been in over 1,700 adult films since 2004.
Holy shit.
And he's won the winner of the 2009 AVN Male Performer of the Year. This is The Canyons.
Okay, tell me something. Do you really like movies? Oh, really, really like movies. When's the last time you went to see a movie in a theater? You know, a movie that you really thought meant something to you. I don't know. You know, I guess maybe it's just not my thing anymore.
I like making my own movies.
What do you mean you make your own movies?
I guess I'd like to keep some parts of my life private.
Nobody has a private life anymore, Tara. All actors,
don't we? The Canyon's Carp. Let's get a synopsis and a quick review.
So, synopsis. While calculating, young movie producer Christian, played by James Dean, makes films to keep his trust fund intact. His actress girlfriend Tara, played by Lindsay Lohan, hides an affair with an actor from her past. But Christian becomes aware of her infidelity, which leads to the young Angelinos into a violent, sexually charged tour through the dark side of human nature. Yeah, I mean, this could have been a lot better. Lindsay Lohan, actually, this is her first role where she went topless. Yeah, her body is phenomenal. I had much higher hopes because it's written by Bret Easton Ellis, who is the writer of Psycho, American Psycho, which is a great movie played by Christian Bale.
Well, yeah, so, you know, a lot of hype.
Yeah. I was expecting more. James Dean, to me, it was like he was just acting in a porno without actually getting physical.
I agree. It was a strange
thing. There is one point, though, where he like goes nuts and kills this chick, and he actually looks like he plays a pretty good psychopath at that point. But other than that, it wasn't what I was expecting. It was a lot lower on the chain for me. It's a 4 awesome Lindsay Lohan naked breasts out of 10.
Okay, so Will, you've seen this as well, right?
It sucked. The film sucks giant James Dean's cock. The only good thing about this film was seeing Lindsay Lohan's breasts, which they're a bit too pale for me, but they are a very interesting size. I was not expecting that.
Ginger.
You know, I'm well aware. But yeah, not the most impressive film. It's just it's dull. Nothing happened. It doesn't contribute in any way. And James Dean, I mean, I see him act in pornos. I'll admit it. I've seen some of his stuff, his work.
So you're a big fan of Dean's cock, you're saying?
I'm actually more a fan of Lee. Okay. I think he's much better at what he does.
Right.
Yeah. I'm just not impressed at all. It looked like he was acting in a porno. He was being very disingenuous in the beginning, where you're supposed to sound like this very confident guy. It's just someone pretending to be confident, pretending not to care. He's really just pretending the whole way through. I don't know. I just didn't have any fun with the film. It sucked out. And also, it's very, like, is it Paul Schrader, the name of the director? I believe
yes,
so, right?
Schrader. It's written by Bret Easton Ellis.
Yes. But I'm going to But my, I'm definitely more, I understand that, okay, the script definitely has issues because it's just uninteresting. But I hate the way it was shot, and it was, it's just, the angles were dull. Everything was dull. The pacing was dull. And it's always like he's trying to make the film be bigger than it is by always going back to these rundown LA theaters. Why? Trying to be, you know, that I'm not impressed by this. This is not artistic. It's just really, really boring. And nobody helps it out. I do commend Lindsay Lohan on trying. She was, I guess, okay. I didn't find her great. But at least she was trying more than Dean was. And she is an executive producer. So I'll give her that she actually did bet on this horse. And, you know, she lost. But at least she bet on something. If you guys want to ruin a great date, just run that with your girlfriend. That'll be great. Oh, by the way, yeah, it gets 1 out of 10. One very limp James Dean cock out of 10.
One limp James Dean cock out of 10. Carp, utter honorable mentions that you'd like to mention for this podcast.
Oh, I mean, the legendary Mr. Ron Jeremy, a.k.a. the Hedgehog. He's done about 2,000 adult films. He's won many AVN awards. He's frequently used by Troma, the guys who do Toxic Avenger and Return to Nukem. So I found a in the bargain bin, horror/fantasy/a few things called Detention. Yeah, basically, it's an apocalyptic fantasy horror, science fiction, action thriller, body-swapping, time-traveling, teen romantic comedy, starring Josh Hutcherson, Dane Cook, Shane Lee Caswell. Yeah, this movie was, well, Ron Jeremy's on it for only like 5 seconds, but you could tell it's him. Super dialogue heavy, like even more so than a Kevin Smith film. And the trailer does not sell it as the movie it is. It was too smart for its own good. It had a budget of $10 million, which is complete crap.
Wow.
There's no way to spend $10 million on it. Maybe they had the highest cameras possible. For me, it's a bargain bin score of 2 out of 10.
Wow, okay. Any other movies you'd like to mention? Or I'm just trying to think top of my head.
Yeah, really. Yeah, I do. Well, this thing really cool.
I remember,
yeah, sorry, what you say?
The only really thing I can remember about a porn star in cinema, apart from the movies that were mentioned, Jenna Jameson had a small part in Private Parts, Howard Stern movie, but apart from that, I'm trying to think. Like, I know we had mentioned pre-show Ron Jeremy had an uncredited role in Ghostbusters. It's like just somebody walking around or whatever, but yeah.
Yeah, he's an extra.
One of the chicks from Game of Thrones, she plays Shay. She was actually a porn star in Germany or something like that.
Okay.
She's the midget's hooker wife or whatever. She was actually a porn act.
One of the good things casting a porn act, just if you have a sex scene or a topless scene,
yeah, they don't mind.
It's a non-issue, right?
Like, yeah, I like that.
Yeah, yeah, which is so
but
that
it also makes
helps
it more real, because it makes no sense that, like, what I enjoyed in the girlfriend experience was when Sasha Grey gets out of bed, she's not like covering herself up. No, she gets out of bed naked. That's how, you know, that's how it would happen. Or James Dean walking up out of the pool, he's naked. Why would he be like covering himself right away? He's in his own home. So I do enjoy that extra flexibility they have in a movie. Also, in the movie with Dirk Diggler, Boogie Nights, the wife of William H. Macy in the film was also a porn star. And in both,
yeah,
in
Nina
both
Hartley
sections, yeah, in both sections where you see her, she is having sex in that film.
Don't forget, Zach and Miri make a porno. There's Tracy Lords.
Don't know her.
She's like infamous for being an underage porn star. Like her early scenes, they figure she was 16 at the time.
Okay.
They figured that she did about 12 movies before she actually became 18. But yeah, she was in Zach and Miri Make a Porno. So
oh, she was doing the scene with Jason Mewes, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
She's Bubbles. From this intro, Mr. Jason Statham actually was in the transporter. The Asian chick that's with him was actually in a porno in China.
Okay.
Actually, a few films that have a porno actor that I like. There's all the Rocky movies, the Expendable films, the Rambo films as well. They all star Sylvester Stallone.
Well, he was in Softcore, so I don't know.
Softcore
Italian.
Oh, wait, just curious, guys. Softcore. I didn't watch it. I never privileged to watch it. So you don't see penis, right, in Softcore?
I've never seen it.
Hmm.
Softcore, yeah.
It is cock-free. Cock-free entertainment.
It's fake humping.
Fake humping, cock-free entertainment. If you look at some of these roles, I mean, they really haven't gone against that stereotype, apart from Sasha Grey.
Yeah.
I really haven't seen any role that it's, wow, that's a great performance, right?
Oh, that's true. What we saw was with James Dean, didn't work out.
Generally, these guys get into porn because they want to have sex with beautiful women, and they have...
Is that it?
But they need to do so. I mean,
but think about it, though, Carp, there are very few men in porn compared to women.
That's why they do
very few
more than women.
Yeah.
So I was actually at a beer pong tournament, and and Brazzers.com, or Brazzers, or however
Brazzers, yeah. It.
One of their webmasters actually lives in Montreal, and he was like, well, you know, the girls perform once every 2 weeks, and the guys perform like 3 times a week.
Yeah, yeah. So, why is that?
Just generally, it's I understand it's the rule of eight. You have to have a minimum of 8 inches.
Exactly. It's because it's rarer to find a big cock than just fake big boobs. I see.
You have to have 8 inches. You have to last 88 minutes. And you have to live in the 818, which is, what is it, the Hills or whatever it's called there. Not the Hills.
Beverly Hills? Area.
No, they don't film in Beverly Hills. Where are they filming?
I have no clue, dude. I'm not in this business yet. I didn't apply yet.
Anyways, there's a specific area in Los Angeles that they use for a lot of porno sets. And it's the 818 area code. So it's the rule of eight that they call it.
That's interesting.
So,
well, I was born the 8th of the 8th, 1988. Would they consider my application? No,
okay. No, probably not.
All right.
And that's it for this week. That I call like a bargain bin style for pornographic actors and actresses.
Anything you guys want to plug before we end the show?
Sayingwords.com. We're always looking for new members, and we have in the general discussion, there's a boob thread, so you can post boobs.
There you go. All right.
Comicbooksftw. So that's comicbooksftw.com. If you talk about big boobs, that's what, you know, comic books are full of big boobs. But we actually don't discuss them too much. However, we discuss everything in comics, and we have reviews for you. So by all means, if you're interested in comics, check out the site, www.comicbooksftw.com.
And they got a lot of good-looking cosplay chicks, too, that they interview.
We do. Yeah. You're right. We do interview Jessica Negri. Yeah, so talking about boobs, Jessica Negri is definitely there.
All right, awesome. So for Carpet Will, this is Mr. Old School for the Bargain Bin Episode 2. Thank you very much for listening.
What's up? It is Heavy Set, and I'm here to tell you about Kayfabe Sports Radio, the home of the Ohio Indy Report and NFL Easy Picks. On the Ohio Indy Report, I break down what's going on in the Cleveland scene of independent wrestling, from AIW to Prime Wrestling, and some of the little organizations in between that I can attend. And if you also like NFL football, be sure to check out NFL Easy Picks, hosted by myself and my good friend Joe Bennett, as we break down and talk about what is going on in football, and we make our picks on the coming week's games. And all this can be found at www.kfabesports.com. You can also find us on iTunes by searching Kayfabe Sports Radio. And while you're at kfabesports.com, be sure to check out the links for Kayfabe Sports Radio, Ohio Indy Report, and NFL Easy Picks on Facebook and Twitter. So for now, be sure to check out the Ohio Indy Report and NFL Easy Picks on Kayfabe Sports Radio, where it's all a work.
Slamming your brain through a table of wrestling knowledge. News and rumors. The Spanish Announce Table.
TrendingTopicsNetwork.com.